All right. Amen. I am glad to be here. I'm glad to see all of you. And of course, I want to thank Pastor Mendez, his family. I want to thank all my friends for putting this great event on every single year. I greatly appreciate it. And again, if I haven't met you, you know, don't be shy. Come up to me afterwards and say hi. I definitely love the chance to get to know you, get to meet you. So you're in Isaiah chapter 66. It was supposed to be Hezekiah chapter 66, but that's okay. I can go with this anyways, okay? So, hey, you know, if you want to come up to a pastor's building and challenge him on the Bible, why he preaches the things that he does, you better at least know the books that are in the Bible, amen? I think that's fair. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to our YouTube channel. You'll figure it out. So, but you're in Isaiah chapter 66. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter number 18. I just wanted that chapter fresh in your mind because we are going to come back to it. In fact, what we're going to be talking about this morning, some of the things that Jesus says in the passage that we are about to read, he's actually quoting from this neighborhood of Scripture. So again, we will come back to Isaiah 66 in a little while. But let's get into what we're talking about this morning, just for context purposes. Look at verse number 1, Matthew chapter 18. So the Bible says this. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus. Now, we'll come back and kind of talk about what that means and what's going on here in just a moment. But it says in verse 1, Matthew 18, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now, does anybody in here think that Jesus does not care about the children? Right? Nobody in here would say that. The reason why I bring that up is because I'm constantly getting messages. You know, Jesus would be with us on the abortion issue, right? And these are people claiming to be pastors, right? Your local Methodist, Lutheran type people. You know, they aren't really Christians. We all understand that. But it's still infuriating to hear stuff like that. You know, it's disgusting. Yeah. It should upset you. It should get you highly angry. Okay, look at verse number 6, and we'll get into it. Verse number 6, the Bible says this, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Okay? That's the Jesus we know. That's the Jesus we're going to preach about. That's the Jesus we're going to stand up for. Amen? Now, the title of my sermon this morning is The Baby Groomer Generation. The Baby Groomer Generation. Okay? Now, you know, for those of you who know, you know, at our church last month, well, I started this in May. I started Anti-Pride Month, okay? And so the idea was I was going to preach every Wednesday a sermon against the fags, okay? So I had to start early because Pastor Anderson was coming to our church to preach the last week in June. So I figured, well, might as well get a jump on the sermons, and that landed me in the news, okay? And so, yeah, it's always a great time, I guess. But wound up in the news. And instantly came up with all these different sermon titles, right? I had 7 titles. This is actually the 6th one I've preached. This will be the 6th one, right? So the one that I'm going to do next year is 7 reasons why maggots are better than faggots, okay? But I'm some people are getting kind of worried that I'm bringing, you know, too much heat, but that'll be next June, okay? So we're going to continue this trend. I'm going to get that going next June. So look, the last 2 years, I gave you something real practical. Today is just pure rage. I'm upset. I'm angry, okay? And it's just going to have to go like that today, okay? It just is what it is. So we're going to be talking about the doctrine that most Christians have no idea about, and that's called millstoneology, okay? Millstoneology. So, yeah, I got to check that off the list, okay? Right, we got to learn what these things mean. And this, you know, this actually has a special place in my heart. It's not really special, but let me explain. I've kind of a victim of this, if you will. See, my parents were both from San Francisco, and I'm not trying to knock you from San Francisco. I know there's a lot of great people here from San Francisco, okay? But my parents were from the bad part, apparently. Okay. For example, you know, if you were to see little pictures of me as a child, you would see that my hair was like down to here. You know, this is before I could, you know, really communicate, hey, I don't like long hair. I'm not a girl, Mom. I'm a boy. And my mom was always trying to push this agenda on me. You know, we really should get your ear pierced. I really wish you'd grow your hair out. You know, you look so cute when you're younger and blah, blah, blah. You look like those kids from the band Menudo. Right? That's literally how she was trying to raise me. Well, does some of you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. I barely even know what I'm talking about. But there's a member, and there might be multiple members of that band, Menudo, that are queers, right? Ricky Martin. Who knows who Ricky Martin is? The guy's a flaming faggot, okay? So, again, I looking back at my childhood, I can kind of see how the baby boomer generation messed up, how they started raising their kids, the things that they started instilling in them, basically spilled over and was tried to be pushed on me as a young child. And so I get a little bit upset when it comes to this issue, okay? This is the Red Hot Preaching Conference. You can definitely handle this. Now, because I've been in the news, you know, where we're at in Boise or whatever, it's a small town. You know, it's the biggest city in Idaho, I guess, but it's still a small town. Like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people are starting to recognize me out in town. So I got to wear a hat and kind of disguise myself. You know? And it does work, and I'll tell you. You know, I still work a secular job. My company has the opposite values of me, but they still love me, still want me to work there, so praise God for that. So, tell you a quick story here. I was doing some work on some equipment. I'm changing a little bit, but the conversation is all true, what was said, so just bear with me. So, working on some equipment, right? I was working on a compressor, and so I was in this place. Well, this family, while I'm working on the refrigerator, they're watching a Marvel movie. Must have been a newer one. And they get to a scene where apparently there is a pride flag, okay? And so this is 4th of July weekend. You know, it's about to kick off. You know, so their parents are in town. And the mom's like, you know what? I'm old school. Was that a pride flag? And then the son's like, yeah. And then he starts yelling at the TV, blow them up! Blow them up! Blow these people up! Right? And the wife who I'm dealing with, she's like, I am so sorry. And I'm like, oh, I'm not, you know? I'm like, this is great, go ahead. So these people are not saved at all, and they're just sitting there talking about this. She's like, I'm getting sick and tired. This is supposed to be for children. And they're putting that flag, and I'm like, wow, I'm like, amen, you know? So I'm working away, and he's like, yeah, these people are disgusting. They're trying to cram that stuff down our throats. He's like, they're so disgusting that there's even a pastor in Boise that wants them all to be killed. He wants the government to kill them all. Amen. And I'm like, I'm through. Today's my last day. I'm done. And she looks at me and she's like, I am so sorry. Are you offended? I'm like, no. And I'm like, you know, I'm working like at 10 times speed now and I'm flying through this thing. And I'm like, I have got to get out of here. You know, God must have like cloaked me or something because they never figured it out. You know, and then this guy, he's like, no, I got to find it. I saw this guy on TikTok and he's in Boise. You got to see this, Mom. He's like, you got to see this. She's like, yeah, let me see it. You know, and he's looking for the video. I finished up in lightning speed. I mean, I went into overdrive. I was done. I was out of there. And I was thanking God all the way home that I didn't get found out because you never know how that's going to turn out. You know, you're the guy. Well, you shouldn't, you know, you never know, right? But anyways, like Pastor Shelley said last night, everybody hates these fags, right? Here's the thing. If I were to knock on their door as Pastor Jones, they probably would have slammed the door in my face. That's the kind of people they are, you know? But now that I'm inside there, they don't care what, you know, what's going on. They're in the comfort of their own homes, and their true feelings come out. You know, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. And so hopefully that's some encouragement to you. But all that to say this, you know, we are living in perilous times. And everybody in here, you guys understand this, okay? You watch the videos of the protesters from a few years ago here. You go watch the videos of the protesters at Steadfast or at First Works, at all of our churches, at our church, right? What are these people doing, these freaks? They're out there yelling and screaming and holding up signs of burning Bibles and burning churches and the most filthy, vile, wicked, disgusting, faggoty things you could possibly say to women and children. All the while screaming at us that we're the groomers. Right. You know, it's funny. I just got a message when I was sitting over there. I don't know why I do this to myself before I preach. It just gets me mad. And this guy's like, come up to Coeur d'Alene, you faggot. And I'll give you a real good time. You know, it's just like, you know, and then you're a groomer. Well, I'm a groomer. That's right. We're going to groom our kids according to the Word of God. Which obviously is not popular today, but that doesn't matter. We're going to do this anyways. Keep your place there in Matthew 18, because we're going to come back to it, but go to Matthew chapter 17, just one chapter back in your Bible. You say, why do we need a sermon on this? It's preached all the time. Because this is the issue that we are fighting today, and this issue transcends the physical reality that you and I live in. There is a demonic battle going on, and the Bible says that we are to display the manifold wisdom of God. Go read Ephesians chapter number 3. So preaching these things and being in agreement with these things really does more for this battle than you could possibly imagine. Because how could our tiny little churches make such a big impact in this country and in this world if what we did didn't matter? Right? I mean, that's the thing that the news says. This little Baptist pastor of this tiny church here in Boise thinks that all the queer should be killed. Yeah, I do think that. And so do half your staff. But you know, I mean, this is just starting to really accelerate, this whole baby grooming issue. You know, you say, what's part of millstoneology? Well, here's an example. I think that anybody who takes their children to a fag queen story time, right, ought to have their head chopped off. How about that? Now, why don't you put that on Twitter, Hamlet Beta? You queer lover, you disgusting freak. You know, there's this organization. Now, who heard of this What is it called? FINA, F-I-N-A, right? It's this regulatory agency that like oversees water sports, I guess, like swimming, right? And I think it was a few weeks ago, I read this article, I think it was by, what's that guy's name? Matt Walsh, right? Not promoting him, I'm just, you know, I just read the article, whatever. You know, people are all excited, you know, they're going to stop these trans athletes from competing, you know, they're going to stop the men from competing in the women's swimming, and this is great, this is a victory for us, right? But when you do some more digging around, you just realize it's actually not the case. It's actually what they did is they're trying to drop the age of consent. So now what that regulatory agency has said is that, well, in order for a quote-unquote biological male to compete in female sports, they have to have blocked puberty by the age of 12. Okay, so now you have to take a pill and become chemically castrated, which is going to make you a big pharma customer for the rest of your life and probably put you in a forever box long before the appointed time. Okay? Not a good thing. So anytime you hear of the world, you know, oh, we got a victory here, and it has nothing to do with the Bible, you know that there's a problem. There's something else going on. There's something underneath what they are telling you. That was not a victory for the Lord. That was not a victory for God. What that was is now all these parents are like, well, I'm all inclusive. I'm accepting, right? My little child, I saw him playing with dolls, and maybe he has these feelings, and they're going to start grooming these children and pushing these children to take these blockers and to take this chemical castration. So that way, they can have their lives destroyed before they even have the understanding to say no. Right? I mean, think of this is going to catch on like wildfire at some point. I mean, we're not going up. We're going down. Every time you click the news on or somebody wants to forward an article to you, it's horrible. It's absolutely disgusting. But you know what? That doesn't mean that all hope's lost or that or whatever. We're going to go through that today. This morning, I'm going to give you some encouragement. We started in Isaiah 66 because you know the last verse in that chapter, right? We're going to look on their carcasses. In fact, when you look outside your church and you see these freaks and you see them on the news crying and whining and foaming out of their disgusting, disease-filled mouths, you can just look at that person as a burning, rotten carcass. That's how these people ought to be viewed because that is what they are. That is their agenda. But you're so intolerant. Jesus would never say anything like that. Really? Then why did he say what he said here in Matthew chapter 18? Why is it repeated in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter number 17? Because millstoneology is a real thing. I just happened to coin the term. I got a patent, I promise. All right, so back to the Bible here. So Jesus says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones? Now, I've offended a lot of kids, right? I beat some kids, in January, we had a Connect Four. competition. I want us beating kids. And they were offended, you know? Is that what he's talking about? You know, I've been walking around here before not paying attention, knock some kids over and they start crying. You know, does that mean I need a millstone? Obviously not, okay? Now, the reason why I bring that up is because the modern versions will say, well, whosoever maketh this child to stumble. So if he stumbles out of the way and turns his back on God and gets into sin, then, you know, you lost your salvation, okay? Well, that's not true. That's not what it says. So what is he talking about? Well, let's just kind of see how he uses the word here previously and take a look at something. So Matthew 17, look at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. So the Bible says this. It says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And we talked about that yesterday, right? What are the Jews always doing? Trying to grab them coins, right? Like Mario, just trying to get the money. That's all they care about. Hey, where's the money, man? We need some payment, okay? Look at verse 25. And this all plays into what we're talking about. Verse 25. He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Verse 26. Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. So verse 27, notwithstanding lest we should offend them. Okay? So again, a different little use of this word here. And what he's saying is, hey, we, you know, just because we have the right to not pay the tribute, you know, Jesus is like, hey, I am the Word. I'm from the beginning. I've been from everlasting. Okay, he's like, I made this world, right? And these guys are wanting tribute money from me. It's like, I don't even have to pay it. But he cares about the world. He cares about those who are hanging in the balances. And he wants them to be saved. And he doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize that. So here he just says, hey, lest we should offend them. So unless we should basically, you know, leave a bad taste in their mouth to where they wouldn't want to listen to the truth, okay? That's what he's saying. Go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, if you would, go to Mark chapter 9, which is the parallel passage here. Mark chapter number 9. So again, why does Jesus say this? Well, obviously, he doesn't want to prevent these people because he knows the hearts of men. He doesn't want to do anything that would cause them to not want to hear the message, right? That's the attitude that we have. This is why we go out so many. This is why not every single sermon is about the Sodomites. You know, I just happen to be mad right now. It's okay, right? This is the Red Hot Preaching Conference. This is the place for that. And June's definitely the place for that as well, okay? So, understand, what are they dealing with here in Matthew 17? So, you know, the beginning of Matthew 18, it says, at this time, right? Well, they just got done dealing with the Jews wanting money, okay? So that's number one. So, why does he say this at this time? Because have you ever wondered that? You know, like, Jesus is just teaching them, like, hey, about the tribute money. You know, and then they're like having this little debate. Who's going to be the greatest? You know, who's going to be like Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada? Who's going to be like David? You know, who's going to be the greatest? You know, when you set up your physical kingdom, Jesus, when you set it up here on earth. And he's like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about here. And then he brings up this issue of the millstone. You got to kind of wonder, you know, who's around that he's trying to get the attention to? Why teach this? Why give his disciples this information? What purpose is there to it? Well, look at verse number 43, okay? Mark chapter 9, verse number 43. So he says this. So Jesus says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. We'll look at that again here in a moment. But what does he say? And if thy hand offend thee, right? Again, the new evangelicals, the human achievers, the people who preach probation, they will tell you, well, see, if you sin, you're out. You're done. If you don't repent of all your sins, you're going to hell. No, what he's saying, whatever it is that's holding you back from accepting the truth and placing your measure of faith on the Savior, you need to let go of it. You need to get rid of it, okay? Because it's an offense. It's going to prevent you from being saved. It's going to prevent you from being saved and serving the Savior, which is what he wants. That is the goal. That is the purpose, okay? That's what he's talking about when he says if these people should offend a little one, right? Anybody who would offend a little child. So look, there's whole denominations out there, whole Christian organizations. Catholic Church, right? Do we need to go in? Do I need to say any more? What about the Mormons? Do they offend little children? Do they offend people that believe? Yes, because there are children who we get saved out soul winning. There are children who stumble upon the Bible way to to heaven videos. They get saved, but they still have to go to these places with their parents. And they're being offended on a weekly basis. After I got saved when I was 9 years old and I was a bus kid, when things got serious and they sent me home with a waiver to get baptized, my parents got highly offended. They didn't like that. My mom, because she's Mexican, was like, "You're default Catholic. That is your race. That is who you are. You cannot be a Baptist. It doesn't work like that." And my dad's like, "I told you all this religious stuff was garbage." And the end of my mom's life was hell. The end of my father's life, for those of you who don't know, was absolute hell. Not just for him, but also for me. And I don't know this to be true, but I kind of wondered, because they caused me to miss so many years of serving God when I was a child, and I wanted to. I almost wonder if that's why they died such painful, horrible deaths. I don't know, but I have a feeling that might actually be the case. So if you would back up to verse number 33, and let's keep reading here. So Jesus says, or the Bible says this, says, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed among yourselves?'" By the way, so again, understand these guys are doing the old comparison, right? Hey, who's going to be the best? And they're arguing. Verse 34, it says, "But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest." Verse 35. "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them." So again, who's present here? The 12. Who's part of the 12 that we know is a reprobate? Judas. "And he sat down," verse 35, "and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, 'If any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Verse 36, "And he took a child." Ever wonder where he got the child from, okay? So, "And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, 'Whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me.'" Right, so he's affirming, obviously, the doctrine of salvation. It's by receiving Jesus Christ. It's not by you doing anything. But he's also explaining to them that their perspective is wrong. A real leader does not go out and try to seek power. A leader seeks ways to help those who have no power, like children. Because if you were to keep reading in Matthew chapter 18 and get to Matthew chapter 19, what do the disciples immediately do when they see the kids around? They're like, "Hey, no, don't bother Jesus. Don't bother him." And what does Jesus say? "Hey, no, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such are the kingdom of heaven." Right? That's basically what he says. So understand here, he's trying to give them a lesson in leadership. A leader will seek ways to help those that have no power. Look, our children have no power. When I was a child, when I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, I had no power. I had not the ability to tell my mom, "I don't like my hair long. I don't want to be a girl. Sorry to disappoint you, Mom. I don't like Menudo. I don't like Ricky Martin. And I didn't like him before it was even popular. I thought he was disgusting back then, and we all think he's disgusting today, if you know who I'm talking about, okay? And by the way, this is proof that we have no leadership in this country in the government, okay? Think about this. Because most politicians, on some level, they're going to support some forms of abortion. They support the sodomites, right? Is there a politician that's against the sodomites? I don't think so, right? And all sodomites are pedophiles. I don't care what you say. I'm going to talk about that here in a moment. All right. You know, if you would, go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. We're going to come back to that, though, so keep your place there. We're going to come back to that. You know, and I also read this, you know, Uncle Old Dirty Riding Biden. apparently, this guy, and it should be no surprise, you know, he's all about lowering the age of consent to give puberty blockers to kids that are 12 years old. I know Newsom's for that. All these politicians are the same, in my opinion. That's wicked. You know what that means? They have no leadership. Anybody who's for the sodomites is against children. And that would include Donald Trump. I'm sorry, but he's for the queers. So that means he is not a true leader. Yeah, he's good at business. I get that. I understand the gas prices. I understand all that from a business perspective. But if you were to allow him to continue on for any length of time because of his morality, this nation would still continue a downward spiral, because these people don't think of the spiritual battle. They don't understand the ramifications of supporting Satan's work, which are the queers, which are the baby groomers. Okay? We have a nation full of quote-unquote lead. I mean, just look at Biden's cabinet. It's more like a closet. It's a freak show is what it is. That's all it is. It's like the drag queen story hour went to the White House. That's what you have today. That, I mean, this nation is a joke. A disgusting joke. Look, when I was in the military, they taught us this religiously. The lowest three things that you could possibly have in life are thieves, commies, and faggots. Hey, thanks, Uncle Sam, for that lesson in the late 90s, which to me doesn't seem like all that long ago. Look, you couldn't say that in today's military. You get fired. You get court-martialed. You get in big, big trouble. So again, to answer the question, because I, you know, get off track or whatever, why did Jesus bring this doctrine? Why did he bring up millstone-ology at the point in the conversation that he did? Well, again, you go to Matthew 17, they're dealing with the Jews wanting money. You go to Matthew 18 or Mark 9, you read the parallel passage, you see that the 12 are there. That would include Judas, the reprobate. He represents your typical quote-unquote Jew today, okay? Your converted Jew who rejects Christ, who you reject Christ, you go to the synagogue of Satan, like Pastor Shelley talked about, you know what? You support pedophilia. When you watch the acts that those rabbis do, which are filthy, disgusting, horrible, beyond comprehension, beyond a person with a normal conscience, you know what? You're supporting pedophilia. You are part of the baby groomer generation. It's disgusting. It's filthy. But again, so you have him there, okay? And then you go on and you read, and Jesus starts talking about hellfire, which we'll get back to, okay? So all of that to say this, okay? All of that to say this. You know, I got some proverbs that we write down at our church. They're not scripture, okay? But I think this might actually be the underlying theme of this conference, and this statement I believe is true. You let me know if you think it's true. Okay, why did Jesus say what he did when he did? And I think it's because of this. Wherever you have two or three Jews gathered together, there is a faggot in the midst. Amen. What do you think? Yeah. And all faggots are pedophiles. 100%. Every single one of them. In fact, let me just read this here, right? All right. This was left on our voicemail several times, okay? Emailed, texted, and then it finally got to YouTube, so I figure, you know, I already talked about this at our church, but I'm going to bring it up here. So listen to what this guy says. He says, scientific research finds that pedophilia is a disease separate from and in no way related to homosexuality. In fact, research demonstrates that the most pedophiles, more than 95%, are heterosexually orientated. Okay, that's what this clown says. So, the question that I have is that true? What does the Bible say? Now, look, I use the term homosexual or heterosexual, you know, when talking to people because those are the terms that the world uses. But look, it's so important that you and I, that we understand the real agenda and the deeper meaning, okay? Because really those words are designed to slide in the baby groomers, right? That, I mean, think about it. Those, because they say, well, homosexuals is just, you know, a woman who likes a woman and a man who likes a man, okay? And everything else is heterosexual. That's not what the Bible teaches, okay? The Bible does teach there's two groups of people. Let's take a look. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Look at verse number 12. Let's define some terms. Solomon, wisest man to ever live. Look at what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 12 says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So he said, hey, take it from me. I got my wisdom from the Lord. I applied it to learn all of the things that are done under the sun, which was a vexation, which was hard on me. And you know when you go too deep in a lot of these subjects, it's a vexation, you know? That's why these dogs will hang outside of your church and start barking. Rah, 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 rah. You know, they're just yelling at cars before you even get out. You ignore them and they're yelling at the building for an hour and a half, okay? Because they're dogs. But it's still a vexation, isn't it? It's still just I mean, look, our churches are becoming the city pound, you know? That's really what it boils down to, like the dog pound. Look at verse 15. It says, And this is the kicker here. This is what you need to understand. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. Amen. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Okay? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. How do these people become crooked? Well, Romans chapter 1, right? They decide to reject God, push God too far. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. You guys know this. We understand this. But we call them crooked. Okay? And it's funny, all the messages that we'll get, and straight people are pedophiles. Impossible. Go to Jude. Go to the book of Jude. Go to Jude. That is impossible. There are two kinds of people. You're either straight or you are crooked. Right? It is kind of funny how these dogs, right? You know, they never say that. Oh, you know, they just throw out straight. Are you straight? Are you straight? But they never want to say because I'm crooked, right? Like, no, because I'm a loving, tolerant, coexisting type human being, and love is love. Like, that's basically what they're going to tell you. It's like, no, before you go any further, queer, you're crooked is what you are. And you cannot be made straight, which is why you deserve to have a millstone tied about your neck and you cast into the depths of the sea. And that's your best option. Look, understand this. I'm going to say this again. If Jesus said, and he did say this several times in the Bible, that if somebody wants to offend a child that believes in him, right? And that goes all the way down to just somebody preventing a little believer from following God. If they deserve the millstone, then how much worse are they going to get for physically and mentally violating a child? Or even a child of God, for that matter. No matter what your physical age is. Think about that for a second. Okay, so you're in Jude. So again, there's two kinds of people, right? You have crooked and you have straight. So if you take what the world calls a heterosexual individual, say, well, he's attracted to women, but he likes little girls. He's crooked. Right. He's a faggot. He's a dog. He's a queer. He's a sodomite. It's strange. The word queer means what? Strange. Look at Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and don't miss this, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Right? Look, the alphabet people, right? One of the letters in their acronym is Q for queer. They're telling you they're strange. They're telling you they are crooked. Okay? So anytime somebody comes at us with that, oh, but 95% of the pedophiles are heterosexual. No, they're 100% of them are crooked. Yep. I call them all dogs. I call them all queers. Yep. You see how they try to trick us with words? Right. Silly faggots. Tricks are for kids. Hey, that's number 8. I'm going to do that one next year too. You heard it here first. That just came to me. That's pretty good. Hey, it pays being an 80s kid. You see that? You see what some of you guys are missing out on? Being born later and just kidding. Good Isaiah 66. You know, when I was a kid going through school in Washington State, there was this very popular story of this woman whose name was Mary Kay Letourneau. Has anybody ever heard that name? Yeah, a lot of people have heard of that name. You know, she was a female who fell in love with, I think this dude was 12. Was he about 12? Anybody know? I think he was about 12 years old. Started having a relationship, okay? And I can remember kids in school like, man, I wish she was my teacher. It's like, shut up, you idiot. But everybody just kind of laughs at that, right? You know, they wound up getting married, they had kids or whatever. You know, she went to prison for quite a while. Imagine that, okay? Guess what? She's crooked.
Right, yeah.
She's crooked. I would look at her and say, you're a faggot is what you are. You're a filthy, disgusting, perverted, disease-filled faggot is what you are.
Amen.
Hope I'm not making you too nervous today. I told you, this is pure rage. Okay? This is just pure, I'm just upset. I'm angry. I have to get this stuff off my chest. But that woman, I would say for sure, she is a sodomite. Right? What do you read in Genesis 19 when the angels come into town? Both young and old come. Where are the authorities? Where are the people with conscience saying, hey, should we really expose these young ones to a rape? You don't see that, right? Because they're loving. Love is love. Tolerant. No judgment. You know, I ran a guy out of church on accident, a visitor, because I was preaching this reptilian sermon that came up. And I don't believe in lizard people, but I was going over that passage of scripture, and I was telling people, you know, this is their agenda, right? Defund the police. Why do they want to defund the police? So that they can defraud our children. So that they can groom our kids without repercussions. That's the whole goal. That's what they're after. And this guy's like, you know, hoping nobody sees him. He's like, you know, little micro shakes. You know, and then as he's leaving, I'm trying to make sure I get a handshake from him. He's just like, he couldn't get out fast enough. But you know what? That's the truth. It's what it is. You know, and you come by some of our churches and you look at the filth that they're drawing on the ground with chalk, right? We're talking about that before the service. You know, talking about raping and pillaging our families. Yep. You know, we had to call the cops on these dogs the first time they protested us. Because you got this guy with a pistol on his head, like, oh, let's go. Let's fight. You know, he keeps coming on the property and everybody's getting worried. So I'm like, you know what, we do need to kind of like set the tone here. So I called the police and they showed up. And I don't know if they were playing good cop, bad cop. Well, bad, but, you know, this guy's like, so what's going on? I'm like, look, they're, you know, challenging us to fight. They're coming on the property. We just need you to tell them to step off. And they actually witnessed it. So that kind of helped us out. They actually saw this. But our church is next to other buildings where you can get your hair done and your nails, all this type of stuff. And these people are yelling at all them going in those businesses too because they're dogs. They just bark at everything, yeah. Right? That's what they do, yeah. Right? And I tell the police officer this, and he's like, well, that's their free speech. And I'm like, and you guys tried to find me guilty for hate speech because just reading the Bible? He's like, sir, I'm not here to argue Bible doctrine with you, okay? You idiot. So, like 50 years ago, man, that would not have been acceptable.
Yeah.
And then luckily this other police officer, I'm going to go talk to him. I'm going to let him know they need to chill and they shouldn't do that. And the other guy's, yeah, but it is their free speech. Really? To harass people? Right, they're yelling at people like, hey, you know, and you shouldn't even support this business. Of course they're going to say stuff like that, right? Because if they could put pressure on the businesses around us, then obviously the landlord's going to get mad, which he is, you know, and try to kick us off in that whole thing. Whatever. All right, let's move on. Let's move on here. Right where we started, Isaiah chapter number 66. See, why did you read this verse? Why bring this up? What does this have to do with what we're talking about today? Because Jesus actually talking about the millstone, and then in Mark 9, when you keep reading, he starts talking about hell. He's actually quoting from this neighborhood, and so there's some great attributes, some great characteristics, some great things that we can learn about how God feels about injustice, about these reprobate people that we have to deal with on a daily basis, right? We're having to explain crazy things to our young children, things that didn't even come near our minds when we were kids, you know, some of us who are older, right? So you got to understand we are living in perilous times and it's getting worse and we need to learn the wisdom of God so that we can teach that to other people because there are people watching how we handle this. They're watching our response and they want to know, hey, is this just another Westboro Baptist type thing or are these guys for real? Is there something we're missing, right? And it's our job to win those people over. And so that's why we need to understand these things. Isaiah chapter 66, let's look at this, verse number 1. So the Bible says this, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Verse 2, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been hid, or I'm sorry, have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So what is God saying here? He's saying, hey, look, I made the heavens, I made the earth, I gave you your skill set, I gave you your abilities, I teach you, you don't teach me, right? Because man comes along and says, hey, we want to help God out. We want to help Jesus be more loving. Right, and we're going to do that by grooming kids. We're going to do that by becoming red-letter Christians only. It's kind of funny. You wind up in the news or a sermon goes kind of viral or something like that, and all the red-letter Christians come out. Okay, you say, what's a red-letter Christian? A red-letter Christian is a Christian that kind of only believes in the red letters. Okay, but really it's like Pastor Mejia said, they only believe in judge not lest thou be judged and love thy neighbor. That's it. Those are the only two verses they know. And we just call them red-letter Christians, okay? They're not Christians, and they're a bunch of weirdos, okay? But God's saying, hey, I'm in heaven. You're on earth. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. I told the nation that I built when I was in charge of it how to deal with deviants, how to deal with reprobates. what the proper response is. And you people ruined it because you wanted to help me be more accepting. You wanted to help me be more loving in the eyes of the world. And Jesus is saying, hey, I have standards. I have statutes. I have my word. And it's immutable. It is never changing. Okay? The Jesus who said what he said in Matthew chapter 18 is the Jesus of 2022. Okay? Millstoneology is a real doctrine. Okay? And it's something that I wish the government of the United States would act upon. I wish they would take all these freaks after being found guilty, according to the law of God, and put them on an island and drop the entire nuclear arsenal on them. Okay? That is Bible doctrine. That is Jude. Because Jude said, hey, these people are set forth, present tense, are set forth for an example. So the best example that the government could do, and that's even being kind, would be to blow them up. But we know they're not going to do that, and that's fine. We're still going to preach the word of God. We're still going to disciple people. We're still going to draw the line in the sand and stand upon the foundation of the word of God and do what we need to do. Because we want to be, the end of verse 2 here, people of a poor and contrite spirit that trembleth at his word. Amen. Not at the word of man, but a people that tremble at his word. Okay, these new evangelical crazy people that want to come at us all the time and, oh, show me in the Sermon on the Mount. Show me in the red letters where Jesus ever spoke against the Sodomites. Matthew 18, Mark chapter 9. How about Luke chapter 17? There's other places too. I don't have time to go to them all because Jesus is the Word. Right? It's like, I always ask these people, do you believe John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Do you believe that? Well, if he's the Word, he was there in the beginning. He was there in Genesis 19. He was there in Judges 19. He was there when Asa did what he did. He was there when Josiah did what he did. Yeah. Right? He was there. His standards back then have not changed. Yeah. No, it's the baby boomer generation that changed. Okay? People of a poor and contrite spirit. The opposite of pride. The world promotes pride. The Lord promotes a poor and contrite spirit. A people that tremble when they hear the word of God. They hear the millstone analogy and say, whoa, what does that mean? You're not going to go to your Rock Harbor Life Church, you know, these whatever church, you know, Sunday service church, and hear those verses being talked about. And if you do by accident, if they accidentally stumble and read the wrong passage, they're going to be like, it doesn't say that in the original languages, guys. Oh, don't, I'm so sorry. Don't even know. No, it doesn't mean millstone. It just means like a tennis ball, right? And they would drop a tennis ball around someone's neck, like a foam ball, and they would chase them around. It was a little game that they played. I haven't heard that yet, but I bet it's out there. I bet you it's out there. God doesn't need our help. We need his help. Verse 3, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. Hey, boy, that's PETA, right? I mean, there's your people that worship the creature more than the creator. This is how we are viewed today. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. It's funny because these people are yelling at us all the time. You're teaching your children to hate. Really? Why are there horrible things written about me on the ground? Right? Why are you yelling and screaming at our kids? The most filthy, vile things. And then also saying, you are teaching your kids to hate. Well, we are. We're commanded to. Jesus told us we couldn't even be his disciples if we didn't have hate. You bring that up and they're like, show me. And then you show them and they're like, they don't want none of that. But anyways, this is how we are viewed today. The world's teaching their kids to hate who they are. Right? My mom used to tell me this. You know, she would say, You know, Joseph, there are a lot of people out there, like men especially, and boys, and they're really just a little girl trapped inside a man's body. And if that's you, if that's how you feel, Joseph, don't feel bad. That's just how God made you. That used to burn me bad. My own mother would say that to me. Really wish you'd get your ears pierced. Nope. Thank God I got saved at a very young age. Because even without knowing the Bible, just having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I think, you know, that Holy Spirit was like, no queers, you know, just instituted an instant hatred from a very young age. And then when I went into the military, I got in at the right time. And I'm not endorsing, I'm just saying, you know, they taught me the right way. You know, I had the real Uncle Sam. They taught me a lot of bad things too, but, you know, at least they were right on that. That's all I'm saying, you know. And thank you, Uncle Sam of the late 90s. I appreciate that. You're teaching your kids to hate. Shut your mouth. Look at verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Right? Here's the thing. Look at the beginning of that verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. We just talked about this, right? We know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need that. We need that healthy fear of God, right? We ought not to be ashamed of what he says and stand upon the truth. And this is where the baby boomer generation started to go astray, because the baby boomer generation started saying, hey, the real enemy, the Nazis, and I'm not for the Nazis, okay? I'm just bear with me. You know, and the commies, I hate commies, okay? I understand, okay? I totally understand. But then they would say, you know, we need to hate the Japanese and the Italians and all these other people, right? They're the bad guys, and the government's for good, right? And so slowly, started, the devil starts turning up the heat, right? And that message started going to the churches. And the churches were focusing, hey, Uncle Sam's battling the battle of the Lord, right? It's the evil commies. They start getting everybody's focus, everybody's thought process on the physical enemy while neglecting the spiritual battle, okay? And then they slowly but surely, you know, Uncle Sam, Fox News, right? Fox News Baptist. You start getting everybody thinking about this sort of thing. The government's going to save you. The government's going to take care of you. And then the next thing you know, we are where we are at today, because they lost the fear of God and placed that fear on man, which the Bible says is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. It is a trap. It ought not to be so. And I hope that you take that encouragement, especially from the end of this verse here, you know, because these people during this time, you know, Isaiah, he was a preacher during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, who was a good king, and then Ahaz, who was rotten to the core. So he's seen a wide spectrum of different leaderships and different experiences. And obviously Hezekiah, who didn't write the book of Hezekiah. I don't know if he wrote a book, but, you know. Hezekiah, he had his issues, but, you know, Isaiah's gotten to see a lot of different attitudes and a lot of different people be persecuted for righteousness' sake. He got to witness people calling good evil and evil good, and that's exactly where I believe the baby boomer generation, by and large, not everyone, obviously, but started to go wrong. They started to just focus, you know, Nazi, commie, Japanese. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. But you know what? A lot of innocent people were burned in that, too. Because there were people here that were just trying to live their lives that were from Japan, live their lives that were from Germany, and they were put on blast, right? There was a witch hunt out for them. There's people out there trying to give them one set of laws and us another, you know, and that's an unbiblical doctrine. We don't even have time to get into that, okay? But this verse here promises us and promised them back then, you know what? The Lord is going to fight for us. He is going to make their folly manifest. He's going to make their folly apparent. And you get to see that every Sunday in a lot of all these churches, right? Because we preach the Bible, we go to church, we're there all the time. These people are taking their time, their gas, their vocal capacity, and their flea medication to come and bark at my building for an hour and a half. Tell me again that we don't own these people. Because we do. And by the way, that did work getting rid of some of them. But I'm not saying you should do it. It's just whatever. Jump down to verse number 15. So anyways, all that to say this, right? Taking the fear off of God and placing it on man led to the government now fighting the battle of good and evil. And of course, we are where we are at today. Whereas the Bible says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice in trembling. In Psalm chapter 2. So for sake of time, let's jump down to verse 15. Isaiah 66, look at verse 15. The Bible says this, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Now, please keep in mind where we started reading at the beginning of the sermon, Matthew chapter 18, Mark chapter 9, that time period in Jesus' ministry. And what he quotes later in Mark about hellfire is all part of this passage. This is how he feels. This is his standard. Our Lord has anger, okay? He has fury. There are people that he absolutely, positively hates. And we should feel the same way. And we should tremble when we read about these things. Look at verse 16. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. You see that all day long, don't you? Going out, soul winning, preaching the gospel to people. When people reject it, they're literally being slain by the sword. Right? Every time we wind up, you know, making some waves and people see that and in their hearts, they say, you know, all Christians are the same. I'm going to blow all these Christian churches up. Because that's the attitude of these people. And that's why I keep trying to tell these liberal Christians. You know, you are not safe. After Roe versus Wade was overturned, you know what these people are doing? They're messaging us. I'm sure they're messaging all you guys. You know, saying, we're going to blow all Christian churches up. We're coming for all of you. If you even say the name of Christ, you even say you love Jesus, even the Jesus of the new evangelicals, they want to come for you. So why not just go all in? Why not just go crazy? Why not just go absolutely fundamental? Amen. That's what I'm saying. That is the standard. That's what God wants. But he has anger. He has fury. He rebukes with flames of fire. Verse 16, for by fire and his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Okay? Many. Verse 17, they that sanctify themselves, this ain't a good sanctification, notice this, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Interesting that he says the mouse there. You know, there are a lot of nasty things you can get from mice. You know, for example, when I'm working on some equipment, you know, they say if you see mice droppings or you see mice around, you're done. Because if you have any cuts on your arms and it gets into you, you know, you're going to get filled with diseases. Okay? Well, guess what? There's a mouse today. There's a cartoon mouse today. That's the face of an organization. Ran by Jews. And wherever two or three Jews are gathered together, there is a fag in the midst. And all fags are pedophiles. They are all crooked. Okay? And there are a lot of people out there in the world, a lot of little ones that are wounded from the ideologies being preached to them by their parents. And when they partake of that unclean thing, it does damage. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you went to Disneyland, whatever. I think we're all on the same page here. Right? I mean, think about it. These people took Buzz Lightyear and turned him into Buzz Dykeyear. You know? That's number 9. I'm preaching that next time, too. Buzz Dykeyear. I'm up here cracking myself up. All right, whatever. Stupid. All right, the mouse. Right? I mean, nobody in here is going to argue. I mean, they're so vile now. They're so bold now that Disney's like, yes, we want your children. And, you know, this is the point where we congratulate them and say, hey, at least thanks for being honest. Right? I know it took you 93 years to finally admit that. Okay, but that's the agenda, right? The mouse, the unclean thing. These people are groomers. I'm getting close to being done, okay? We're going to wrap this up here in just a minute. Jump down to verse number 23 for the encouraging part. Look what the Bible says. It says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. This is reality. This is what Jesus was quoting in Mark chapter number 9. So show me in the Bible where Jesus is against minor attracted persons. Show me in the Bible where he said anything about the homosexual. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's everywhere. But you know that, queer, don't you? Yeah, you know that. You know that's what it says, which is why you're so mad, which is why you have to call our church phone hundreds of times a day. Oh, by the way, we have a three-minute little mini-sermon on there for them to listen to before they can leave a message, so thanks, Pastor Shelley, for that advice. I own these people. They are my property. They work for me. Go back to Mark chapter 9, and we'll go to Matthew 18, and we're done. That is encouraging to know. Because, look, these people are so nasty. Look, I love this verse here. We will look on their carcasses, and they will be an abhorring. They will be a stench. We will look at them and hate them. You're not going to be crying your eyes out. Think about that. Rejoice in the fact, because, look, I'm telling you, this is hard. It is hard for me. I'm a little bit wound up just from my life experience or whatever. It's hard for me to keep quiet. Like, I tell these guys, like, hey, we got to ignore these protesters. Don't engage with them. And then I get to church, and they beat me to church last Sunday. Hop out, and I start right away, like, hey, you know. I start saying stuff. It's like, why am I doing that? Because it's hard. You know, this is where it's at, though. Just understanding their end game. Understanding where they're headed. And understanding that there is a day where we will look at them and say, you know what? Your worm, your body, is burning forever. You did that. That was your choice. Yeah. Yep. Now tell me how tolerant you are. How tolerant are you of that flame, boy? Huh? Tell me that.
Yeah. Amen.
Disgusting freaks. Amen. That's what the baby groomers have to look forward to.
Right. Right.
Mark chapter 9, look at verse 42. And whosoever, Mark 9, verse 42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were cast into the sea. Think about this. That is a pedophile's best option. That is his best hope. And if you were just take a few seconds and imagine that. You take them out to the middle of the Pacific Ocean on the bow of the USS Ohio, and you throw someone off of that thing with a heavy, heavy stone about their neck. Right, you got a couple of minutes of some extreme fear and torment going through your mind. That is a horrible thing. When you get to a certain pressure in the ocean, guess what? You're going to explode. You're going to just cave in. You're done. And Jesus is saying, that's your best option. So could they ever be saved? No. Can they ever understand Scripture? No. Their best option is that, what I just told you, what he just said. That is their best option. Isaiah 66. And the rest of Mark 9, hellfire is where they are headed. That is truth. That is reality. And that should be an encouragement unto us. And it does help with the battle because it is vexing, right? It is vexing seeing these people week after week. And I understand that. We understand that. Look at verse 43. It says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Again, almost done. Go to Matthew 18. One last time. We are done. Because, you see, people might say, well, he's just talking about the kids that believe in him. Well, there's a lot of children that don't or have not believed on him, and Jesus cares about them too. And it's our job to tremble at the word, to tremble at his standards, and stand up for those standards in the face of the adversity that we face today from the world, from the media, from all these industries that are out there. Look at Matthew 18, verse 10. Jesus says this, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Right? So you say, oh, you're a groomer. Yeah, I'm going to groom you with the truth. We want to groom you with the Bible. Amen. We want to teach you this as early as possible. Amen. Because there are two types of people. There are the straight and the crooked. And once you're crooked, it is too late. right? This should hopefully give us some urgency. Not to just agree, we all agree on this, right? But don't be like, oh man, another sermon about soul winning, another sermon about the end. You know, we need to protect our children. Like Pastor Pizarnski said, why do you think the sodomites want to get into school? It's for the children. Because all they can do is pray. That is all they can do. And not pray like we pray. Right? They hunt for the precious. They hunt for the innocent. That is what they are after. They are after stealing people's emotions, stealing their lives, robbing them of their innocence. They love that. That is what they're about. That is what the baby groomers are about. You say, well, what do we do about this? You know, what does someone do that has no choice but to have their children in public school? Well, the first thing is, do you go to church? Do you spend time with your children? Do you have plans in place to at least get to a church that is right on the gospel, has the King James Bible? I mean that's where you start. You know, and there's a whole plethora of preaching online, even still to this very day. You need to make sure that that is being pumped into your children. You are the parents. You own them. They are your child. God gave them to you. God has given us wisdom to even be able to survive the wicked public school system because I'm a result. I went to public school. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as it is today, but God's wisdom can transcend all of that. Right? So don't feel bad if that's you. Don't feel bad if that is the option, if that is the place that you are stuck in. You have them wash themselves by the water of the word, memorizing scripture. And you know what? You will come out on top. You are the parents. You have already earned their trust. You say, well, I haven't. Then you need to work on that. Okay? Gain their trust. Pump the Bible into them. Right? They're only at school for what? I don't know, 6 hours a day? Unless you're in Japan, maybe it's 8. But, you know, whatever. They're with you more. You teach them the truth. Okay? Because the baby groomers are ramping up. They're getting the law. They have the law on their side. They have their leaders in office. And we have our work cut out for us. We need to make sure that we stand firm on these things. And we be not ashamed. Okay? We stand in agreement according to the wisdom of God. And, you know, we already win. God's giving you the end. He's saying, hey, this is the image. This is what you need to see when you look outside and you see the freak show. They're carcasses. They're on fire. They're crooked. They cannot be made straight. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church, for this conference. I just pray that you'd bless the time of fellowship that we're going to have today, Lord. Bless the speakers tonight. And thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.